All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Hey,
yeah, 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 yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we a number one spot.
What it do, baby? One time for the good times, hey! To the Tuesday, September 25th edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God Mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
The worst slums of Sacramento.
Shout out to Jey Uso, man. What a cool moment that was on WWE Raw last night. Very dope to see someone build themselves up. The way that he has to become one of the true superstars in the game of professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Man, that was a really, really cool moment. I thought WWE did a fantastic job of telling that story, man. That was good Monday night television.
Shout out Joe Tessitore, too. He's the one.
He's doing his thing. He did.
I didn't see the call or anything, so, but I just seen others. He's doing his thing.
He had a few during that I saw on Twitter that I thought were awesome.
I thought his peak moment was... They did it. Jay did the splash. It was a near fall. He goes, I can't remember what line he was using. Is this it? Is this it? Jay kicks out, or Braun kicks out. And Joe says nothing. He says nothing, and they catch the looks, just the... they get the like exasperated looks from the crowd because they had built that moment to where it looked like this was it, and Joe handled it flawlessly.
They may have, and Michael Cole is all right. I've never been a
Michael Cole is very good.
I've never been like once
he's
they lost
not
JR.
JR.
Yeah, it was like
he doesn't tell stories the same way JR does.
Yeah.
Joe Tessitore is a lot closer to JR than Michael Cole is, and so if you're longing for that storytelling, like emotion, that's Joe Tessitore. And I thought his call on the title was good. He did the same thing. He paused for a second. He said something. He paused again so Samantha could make the announcement. And then he kept talking. But it looked like, just watching it back, that they were rushed. And my feeling is they got the pin. They wanted Jay in the crowd for the show to go off the air. Because he grabs the title, bolts out of the ring, jumps into the crowd, goes up, and seconds later the show is off the air. So I think that was the shot that they wanted, was him in the crowd. So Joe had to kind of be quick and tell the story of the match. But I thought he did a great, great job yesterday. They did a great job setting up that story, and it was a really that's what you want as a wrestling fan. You want cool moments.
Absolutely.
And that moment with Jay was cool.
He's really good, man. He's really good. Joe Tessitore, and then obviously Jay.
Jay has turned himself like from being a tag team guy and Roman's first opponent as the tribal chief and the whole storyline that they set up there. and the to him becoming like a real threat to beating Roman Reigns and now becoming a megastar by himself. That's pretty dope. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to do it, but he's absolutely done it.
Also, shout out to him because I guess he was at Darling Avery over
there. He was. Yeah, he sure was.
That's crazy.
He was with our man Abs
One. I saw that picture from Abs. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah, Jay was out there with our man Abs One in Sacramento showing out. That was good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff. Well, that's where the good vibes end.
Well, you know, and let's just get one thing out of the way right now. I'm here. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody ducking no smoke. Ain't nobody ducking no smoke around here. You know what I mean? Don't worry about that. I ain't ducking no smoke. I'm here. I'm always going to be here. I don't never duck no smoke. Like Drizzy Drake. I ain't never ducking no smoke.
God, you guys, I wish to swear you and Drake. It's so awful.
Oh, do you want to give him an apology too? Yet?
For what?
There's like more sources saying that really happened with the Super Bowl.
No. No, I'm not going to. One, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll apologize to Drake when you admit you hate Kendrick Lamar.
But that's not true.
It literally is true.
How is it not
Dude, in 6 months, you haven't said a good thing about Kendrick Lamar.
I didn't talk about how dope Euphoria was.
Bro, you prefaced it with like, one, Steve Stout, like, whatever.
Steve Stout, whatever.
No, it's fine. It's cool. So, again, pick a side. What is it?
Why do we have to pick a side?
Jay either is an egomaniac or he offered the Super Bowl to Drake 2 years in a row.
I think he offered
it. Explain to me real quick, because this is, you took us there. You took us there. So
I think both can actually be true. You don't think Jay-Z is
egomaniac? No. Okay, he can absolutely be an egomaniac. There's no chance. None. He's asking someone who turns down the Super Bowl a second year in a row. There is no chance Jay-Z is giving someone the opportunity to say no to him twice. None. Absolutely none.
At this point, we have a person that's damn near on the OVO payroll who said it.
He said five times.
Who, Maul?
He said five times he was offered the Super Bowl. Or four. I'm sorry, he said four.
Maul said that?
Yes.
I don't.
That's where this all started from.
Well, I'm saying he said he was offered twice. And then he might have said some other stuff.
No, he said four.
The one that went viral was him saying he was turned it down twice. And then I didn't watch.
Are you
the
talking
broadcast.
About Maul?
Yeah.
No, you're mistaken. He said four. That's what started all of this.
I'm not.
That was the clip that went viral.
Okay. You got Maul, who's basically on the OVO payroll. You've got Elliot, who doesn't really get along with Drake.
Journalist.
Yeah, who doesn't get along with Drake. And now you got somebody that has really no skin in the game. Like you're
so you have one guy said four, another guy said two, Steve Stout said two. And walk me through the Steve Stout part, because Steve Stout sure made it sound like Drake was offered the Super Bowl this year. Because he was talking about bringing Lil Wayne out and bringing Drake out and bringing Nicki Minaj. What are we talking about?
I don't think he was offered it this year.
I don't think he was either, and I don't think he was offered it twice. Do I think he was offered it in 2020? That makes a ton of sense.
So
that's Jay's first year. That's a bang. It's Miami. It's a whole lot better than Shakira and was it Jennifer Lopez?
Yeah,
that's a lot better than that. Regardless of the region.
I don't know the context. Like, I don't know if he was asked to headline or he was asked to help out with the show. That's
you don't ask Drake to show up. Yeah, you don't ask Drake to show up.
The other thing that I would say about Drake, because there are people ready to pounce on every word he says and prove him as a liar at every word. Why would he lie about this? There's one thing
about what?
About being offered the Super Bowl. There's one thing about
I don't know why
Drake.
Anyone's even talking about Drake. Drake ain't said nothing.
There's one thing about Drake that I have noticed is he doesn't seem to be a liar.
All right, dude. Let's move on. Let's go to the 49ers. I'm so sick of this conversation about Drake. The 49ers injuries continue to pile up. Javon Hargrave out for the year. Do you want to talk about the 49ers at all?
Yeah, we can talk about the 49ers. I mean, they're 1-2. You know, I'm not panicking. That was a frustrating loss on Sunday. That was a very frustrating loss on Sunday. But there's nothing to panic about.
Javon Hargrave out
yet,
for the year.
Yet.
When when does yet become now?
Sunday. If they lose on Sunday, that'll take my panic meter to, it's like at 1 right now. I'll take it to like 7. To be honest with you, because you got to win that game. You're at home. I know the Patriots are on extended rest, but you got to find a way to take care of business.
Yeah, extended rest doesn't matter if you're a bad football team.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are a bad football team, and I'm with you. I actually said this yesterday. I don't think there's cause for concern, and we were just talking about this with Kyle and James. Like, I don't think there's a I hate that Javon Hargrave is out. I hate that they're losing guys. Mm-hmm. Kyle said it gives them, 2020 vibes where you just keep losing one guy after the other after the other. Now with Kittle and Charvarius Ward, mm-hmm. you're kind of monitoring them week to week, and you're just hoping for the best, right? Like, right. You're hoping. I mean, Kittle was practice. Mm-hmm. Everybody was full go Wednesday. Then all of a sudden, something happened on either Wednesday or Thursday,
right.
where Kittle wound up on that injury report. Obviously, didn't play on Sunday, so that's a thing now. And I think it was hamstring, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're monitoring. Now it's something you got to keep your eye on every week. And now with a couple of losses under your belt, it's like, well, I got to get out there and play.
Right.
And the plan is he's returning to practice today. I think the plan is. It sounds like putting a couple of the pieces of the puzzle together. Maybe the idea of George Kittle not playing the other day was precautionary. And maybe there was a little bit, hey, let's go out there. Let's take care of business. They're just as depleted as we are. Let's let Kittle get ready and we can, prepare with him moving forward. Obviously, that didn't work. It worked for a little while, but in the end, it didn't. Give me Trent, give me Brock, and I feel good about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Fred, give me Nick. I feel good about the defense, but...
Defense
they're starting.
Be better.
They're starting to be some reason to get concerned there.
Defense has to be better. I mean, the first week obviously they were really good. Second week, got carved up by Sam Darnold and a Vikings team that's playing well, and they couldn't close out the game on Sunday. I don't think the defense was bad all game long or anything like that. But you had an opportunity to win, and with that defense that we thought we had, you should be able. To secure a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And they weren't able to do it, and they've got to be a lot better. All the rankings and stuff like that, it's not a good look for this 49ers defense. I think they really, really miss Dre Greenlaw. Mm-hmm. Campbell is anemic in the pass game. He's been awful in the pass game. And Dre Greenlaw not only being able to stop the run, not only being able to be in pass pro, but he did a great job tackling. He did a great job getting after the quarterback on certain blitzes, or Fred Warner is going on the blitz. He's still able to cover, and they're missing Dre Greenlaw in a bad, bad way right now, in my opinion. And they've just got to get better. But the reason why I'm not panicking is I've watched a lot of football, and to be honest with you, I've hated a lot of teams, and I've seen a lot of teams that I do not like stumble at various points in the season, and they ended up being fine. Unfortunately, the one that I distinctly remember is the 20. What year was that? I think
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more rings, two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was 2014 Seattle Seahawks. Oh, I was ready to dance on their grave when they went to San Diego and lost the game to the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was ready to dance on their grave. They had Sherman gifts, you know, of him getting turned around by Antonio Gates or somebody.
Yeah.
And they lost the game in San Diego. Oh, I was ready. I said, these guys are cooked. I can't wait to see this season. These boys are done. They end up getting to the Super Bowl. So it's not time yet. It's not time.
This 49ers team is far from cooked. We'll talk a lot more about them. They might not be cooked, but are they an elite football team? We'll talk about that. And, man, what a coming-out party it was for Jaden Daniels last night.
Mm.
And Jesse has been pretty strong in his proclamation on the Bengals. Well, it's here. Is he right?
Mm.
We'll talk about that. We're just getting started. We're happy that you're here with us. It's Dealing with Casey. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Poor E-Biz just...
That's E-Biz. That's not E-Biz in the chat. I thought that was E-Biz in the chat.
Poor E-Biz just trying to eat his lunch.
It's E-Biz.
Like, what I do? E-Biz, you're good, baby. You're good. You're all right. You're all right.
You're good, E-Biz. I knew my boy E-Biz wouldn't disrespect that way.
I didn't think it was either.
I was like, all right, man, I don't think that's E-Biz. But if it was, it is what it is.
That's E-Biz.
I
don't even know what was said. But E-Biz's name is his name. And poor E-Biz just trying to eat a ham and cheese sandwich. Like, the hell? What I do? Man, you good, E-Biz. Don't worry about it, baby. Don't worry
E-Biz,
about it.
You my mans. All right, you my mans.
If you want to get yelled at by Casey in the chatty house, join us over there on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Of course, the chatty house brought to you by our friends over at Matthews Mattress. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com. I don't have a lot on this. I'll say this one time because we've got stuff to talk about. Brett Favre can go to hell. His whole little act. This man has unlimited access to the media. He has unlimited access to the biggest reporters in all of the NFL. And when he's called to testify in front of Congress because he's been stealing from poor black people for the last decade of his life, he wants us to feel bad for him because he has Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease is a horrible, horrible disease. And in that regard, I feel for him. But he could kiss my ass. His little act of announcing this in front of Congress is trash. Don't let it distract you from the fact that he's sitting here talking about debilitating diseases. He's talking about all of this other dumb stuff. Meanwhile, he was stealing from poor black people for the last decade to build a stupid volleyball facility for his girlfriend or for his daughter. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. Don't buy into this nonsense. Brett Favre can go directly to hell.
Yeah, we're not going to deflect Brett Favre from what the matter at hand is. Oh, whatever your health is, that's whatever your health is. That's whatever. Let's stick to what's being talked about. Let's stick to why you were sitting
in front of Congress for a reason.
Let's stick to why you were in front of a microphone in the first place. You know, if you want to go off and do an interview with Bleacher Report or somebody, then you can announce that there. But we're not going to deflect from the reason why you're in front of Congress in the first place. And like you said, it's because you're out here stealing money from poor black people. So, yeah, let's focus on that. Let's focus on that. That's my focus.
And that's not the headline.
No.
The headline is Brett Favre announced he has Parkinson's disease.
No, and it's strategic. That's why I'm not even tripping off what he said. I'm not paying attention to that. I'm not going to let other people pay attention to that. And Parkinson's, that could wait. We talking about what you did to poor black people and the stealing that you did and how you should be in jail.
If your diagnosis of Parkinson's disease was that big of a deal to you, you would have called all of your friends in the media, and had that announced weeks ago or whenever you were diagnosed with it. Because I'm having a tough time believing you were diagnosed with it this morning.
And then on top of that, that's how you know he's wrong. That's how you know he know he's wrong. Mm-hmm. He's in the wrong because now he's trying to pull out all these stops. Like I said, whatever you got going on, I'm not here to even talk about it one way or the other, not celebrating whatever the case may be. That's not the discussion.
Oh, Peyton asked it.
The discussion is why were you stealing from poor black people and why should you not be in jail right now?
And Peyton asked a great question. I wonder how many needy families in Mississippi lost out on resources to help their family members with diseases like Parkinson's. It's a great question, Peyton. Great question, my brother. All right. That's all you're getting on Brett Favre. Like I think we both said, like most of the chat saying, you just go to hell.
Pretty much.
The Bengals, they might be going somewhere. I don't know.
Poor Bengals. How do you go to hell?
Well, I didn't say they go to hell. I said they might be going somewhere, and it might be directly out of the playoffs. It feels like the story, again, there was one game with multiple stories last night, and when I got home a little later than normal last night, I put on the multi-screen, and truth be told, I saw, you know, Buffalo was getting blown out before I left the building. Like Bills. Mm-hmm. The Bills were
blowing out Jacksonville
before I left the building. And I got home, and multi-view goes up, and I see the score. I think it was 33-something. Mm-hmm. And it took like minutes, like actual, and I'm not trying to over-exaggerate, it took like a minute or two before it registered. The football team is up. Like I saw it and was like, okay, Cincinnati regrouped here a little bit, went to the kitchen, started getting, you know, a little dinner together, whatever. And I came back and I looked and I'm like staring at the screen like, oh, the Commanders are up. What is going on here? And then I was able to watch roughly the entire fourth quarter of that game, saw what Jaden Daniels did, went back and watched a good chunk of it after it was over. Man, that was a star-making performance from that young man.
Yeah.
And a pretty solid performance from that football team overall.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I'm just sticking with the football team.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Okay.
I'm with that. I'm not calling them the Commanders. I agree. Like, we were putting that in stone. What Ernie used to do, write that on the post-it. Yeah, we're calling them the football team.
Yep.
But that, like you said it all, man, that was a hell of a performance by Jaden and by the football team, man. And 2-1 now. You know, that it went on the road Monday night in a game that Cincinnati had to have and was able to outduel them.
Yeah, they did.
Able to outduel them, man. So
I feel like that's always a fascinating component. Like, because sometimes in these situations, you know, you could talk about, you know, which team is better quarterbacks, better this, better that. You could do all of that, but sometimes a team that's desperate, they'll come in there and they'll get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a team with aspirations, a team with prior experience like that. That what do you say? The wounded animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They'll strike.
Yeah.
Bengals tried, man. They couldn't, and they got themselves like right there within distance. And man, that kid put them away.
Yeah.
Like they didn't try to like, oh, let's just try to get the, let's try to run out the clock. Let's be concerned, man. Hey, salute to Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator over there. And salute to that whole Commander squad, because they didn't, as you said to start the show, they didn't duck the smoke.
Mm-mm,
Cincinnati got in the end zone. I think it was Jamar Chase got in the end zone. And they said, yo, let's go put them away. They ate up the clock, and then they got in the end zone. That was a big-time performance, man. Big-time performance.
It really was, man. Really was. And Cincinnati, looking at their situation, that was a tough loss. You back at home.
Yeah.
You kind of had the offense going a little bit. You actually did. I mean, whether it was early or late, like you had things going with the offense. Joe Burrow was performing a little bit more like the Joe Burrow that we know. And against a team like Washington, who you would think you'd be able to overpower them with your offense at home on a Monday night, You weren't able to get it done. You fall to 0-3. Oof, it's looking tough, man. It's looking tough for those guys. I'm looking at the upcoming schedule. If they could play like that, maybe there's room to kind of bounce back and salvage your season, but that may be asking a lot. Maybe asking a lot.
You wanna dance on their graves? You've been pretty adamant about what would happen if this Bengals team lost.
I think their season's over now. I mean, I feel like I tried to give them grace as far as like Burrow's still good, Chase and all that, but honestly, I think that's all just holding on to that Super Bowl year a few years ago. At this point, it's not the same team anymore. The defense isn't great. 0-3 is 0-3. Like, looking at the Commanders, that's a game we're expecting them. Like, you probably need to win that and all that. In case he messages the schedule, like, coming up, I'm sure one of those teams we would have thought of like the Commanders before yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't think you can expect them to handle business at this point. They're not the same team they were a few years ago. They're always dealing with injuries. I'm good with them this season. They're done.
I understand
I'd go the same route, to be honest with you.
You got them done too?
Yeah, I don't think they'll make the playoffs starting 0-3. And yeah, just I don't see them being able to.
You're already trying to catch the Pittsburgh now. Like, I think Baltimore's going to be better at the end of the year. Yeah.
Help me out. Cincinnati did not make the playoffs last year, right?
No, yeah, because Joe Burrow was out.
That's right.
So I just don't think they have enough firepower to be able to rebound from 0-3.
How much of this is, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. It's different circumstances because it ultimately got resolved. But Trent Williams told Christina Pink, sideline reporter for the broadcast, that, like, this has been difficult. Missing training camp and headed into straight high level football is really, really difficult. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how he's never done anything like this before. Which I'm curious the distinction between this and what he did in Washington, but this whatever is whatever.
Didn't he not play, though?
He didn't play the entire year?
Yeah, I don't think he played the entire year in Washington.
Okay, that checks out. I can't remember, but I do remember that how wild that was with Trent Williams in Washington. But still, he's like, I've never done this before. This is difficult. Like, this is extremely difficult. Brandon Ayuk hasn't said as much. He said some other things in some roundabout ways that Kyle Shanahan has attempted to clean up for him. But I wonder, looking at Cincinnati, if this is, man, you reap what you sow. Like, you had to know there was going to be a bit of a disconnect. Jamar was fantastic yesterday. Mm-hmm. For the first time this year, Jamar was fantastic yesterday. But, like, you had a team, you needed a victory. Mm-hmm. And this isn't going to ease the frustration. Yeah. This is going to heighten it. So whatever frustrations Jamar Chase had headed into week one or two or last night, they're going to be amplified now because he didn't get what he was hoping for, and they're 0-3.
T. Higgins, too, sat out all the training camp and is coming off a hammy like 2 weeks in. So
Same exact thing. As an organization, you didn't take care of business that you probably needed to take care of. Mm-hmm. And now you're in this spot where if winning cures everything, man, losing is salt in the wound. And that wound's got that's a gaping wound right now.
Hear me when I say this. It is pro football, professional football. These guys have to make a living, make money. It's big business. I get all that. I'm not disparaging anybody for trying to get everything that they can get financially. But the Bengals are in the same position as I thought the 49ers were at one point and still are right now. And you could even throw the Cowboys in this. They had players and key players where winning was not the most important thing. Mm. It's not that they didn't care about winning. That wasn't priority number one on their list. And what that does is, between that and not being in training camp and getting the reps, you're just playing catch up. And sometimes, in certain situations, like, you're able to catch up and play well. In some other situations, you're always trying to play catch up. You're always trying to chase to even get back to normal, whether it's the health, whether it's the team as a whole trying to, you know, get on the same page, and you never get there. But I just don't like it. It doesn't mean that it's destined to fail or anything else like that. I just don't like when teams, especially teams with Super Bowl aspirations, like these three teams, have players that are valuable to what they're trying to do, and winning isn't the most important thing. It just doesn't seem to bode well a lot of the times.
I feel like the 49ers situation is a little bit different because, like, after everything came out, it seems like Brandon Ayuk was just playing hard to get at some point. Like,
a surprise, you wouldn't.
Yeah, like, it was a deal. But I feel like with the Bengals, that's more on them just because you didn't pay T. Higgins and you didn't play Jamar Chase. Like, what are you holding on to that money for at this point?
Whoever's fault it was. Like, the winning is not the most important thing at that time for those guys. They're worried about their career and their contract, and mindfully, rightfully so. I'm not disparaging them for that, but we have to call a spade a spade. Trent Williams, I'm not going to training camp. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to get ready for the season with the team until this is taken care of. By definition, that's the most important thing. And sometimes you're able to rebound. Sometimes you're not. And these two teams so far, these three teams, because I put the CeeDee Lamb and all this other stuff because he wasn't there as well. Sometimes you just don't recover. And I wonder if that happens for all three of these teams.
Well, it's certainly a factor. Like, it can't not be. And while the Bengals, despite the fact they didn't make the playoffs, Joe Burrow is a quarterback that the media loves. And they have kind of, like, and I understand it's a team that you prop up for an entire offseason, say the return of the quarterback and, you know, Jamar Chase being a top-tier receiver and all of that, them starting 0-3 is a big story. The fact is, you watch last night's game, the story is the football team. The story is Washington. It's the Commanders. It's their rookie quarterback. It's a guy, like, he was 21 of 23 last night.
Ooh.
I don't know. My math is not strong enough for it. That's like 90%.
Ooh. Man, he was cooking.
Threw a couple of touchdowns along the way. Wasn't a check down merchant, 254 yards.
Yeah.
Like, he was brilliant last night.
And I'll say something. And I know you're on the same page with this one, even if he was a check down merchant. He's doing what he's supposed to do.
That's right.
He's doing what he's supposed to do to win that game. It's a plus if sometimes he sees things and he can throw the ball down the field and create some different type of high level plays. He did whatever he needed to do last night to win that game.
He needed 7 yards on third down and went 37 in the end zone and put the game away.
Oh, man.
Like, that's a winning quarterback right there. That's a winning play right there.
He went out there and won that game for him. He went out there and made big plays to get them in the win column.
Shout out to Dan Quinn and that coaching staff, man. Again, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, he's done a really good job with you know, for all of Cliff Kingsbury's faults, if I had a young quarterback as my franchise guy, as my guy under center moving forward, Cliff Kingsbury would be very near the top of the list, if not at the top of the list, of a guys I want as a coordinator.
Mm.
We talk about this all of the time. Maybe you can't be a head coach. Maybe there's a variety of reasons you can't be a head coach. But Cliff Kingsbury knows football. He knows offense, and there's a lot of history that says he seems to know quarterbacks.
He does. He does. I know the Bengals player was getting a lot of flack. I seen it here in the Matthews Masters chat at the house about saying just a college offense and all this other stuff. It looked great last night. I'll caution it. One of the things with Kingsbury, in my opinion, is the league ends up catching up to his offenses. That's what happened in Arizona. They started out with a bang in Arizona. I believe that was the COVID year. That was his first year. And Kyler Murray, and he was cooking. And I remember they had that win against the Bills, the Hail Mary from Kyler Murray against the Bills.
I don't think the NFL had a COVID year.
That's true. There was literally fans. The game I'm talking about, there were fans in that stand.
Oh, there's
in a stand.
They're every other seat. There's 80,000 people here. What? Okay.
Right. But
of course, that's Arizona, so it didn't really.
They didn't. They weren't tripping.
COVID missed Arizona and Florida.
Arizona was like, come on through, 49ers. Yeah. Like, it's okay here. Pull up.
Literally booted out of the state. Oh, come here. Come on.
So
who cares about our high population of elderly people? Come here.
The thing I would caution a little bit with Kingsbury, and I still think he's a good coach, but just in the NFL level, being able to sustain it. You know what I mean? Being able to sustain it. But I think he's a really good offensive mind. And the next hurdle for him.
It might be where Dan Quinn comes into play.
Could be. Could be. And it's not even, I'm not even here to say Kingsbury can't. I'm just saying the next evolution for him as a coach in the NFL is to be able to sustain it and keep it going. And, you know, like you said, he knows quarterbacks.
I wonder if that's a lot of coordinators. Kellen Moore had a particular type of offense that he liked to run. Mm-hmm. And it kind of wore out.
Yeah.
Like they thought Kellen Moore was going to be the next one. And he isn't.
Yeah.
He's still a coordinator.
Yeah, you got to be able to kind of reinvent yourself in certain degrees, mm-hmm. and be able to adjust the adjustments that other teams and coaches around the league make to you. That's one of the things that is impressive about a guy like Andy Reid. This is one of the things that's impressive about a guy like Kyle Shanahan, because these guys have had high-level offenses in different places for the better part of 15 to 20 years now. You know what I mean? And they're a reason – to me, there's a reason they are who they are, because they've been able to sustain new coaches, new trends, new everything in the league, and still be top flight in offense and not fizzle out like some of these other guys have done in certain respects. And once again, not to say that they can't ever do it, but they haven't been able to make the adjustments when other people make adjustments. And Sean McVay, Leezy says Sean McVay. I think to a certain degree, I know we're not crazy about him and it's looking iffy right now. Sean Payton's close to being that. Sean Payton had a high-level offense in New Orleans for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I tip my hat to that. Mm-hmm. So, and he was – what was the connection with him? He was with the Cowboys, right? Sean Payton. As an OC. Because remember, it was always he was going to come back home to Taos. Wasn't that the case?
I don't think he was an offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, though. Maybe he was a quarterbacks coach?
Maybe so.
I don't think he was an offensive coordinator, though.
Yeah.
Also, Jerry.
He was assistant coach and quarterbacks coach.
There we go. Okay.
There we go.
What year? Do you have the year?
2003 to 2005.
Okay.
Is that Romo?
3 to 5. Yeah.
So, you know.
Right?
You mix in some Drew Bledsoe and Quincy.
Yeah, I was going to say there. I think that's got to be Parcells.
Got you. Yeah, because Parcells.
Because I can't remember who Parcells' OC was. Oh, was it Garrett?
Probably was. Because that was the thing. Garrett was always waiting in the wings.
Yeah, Garrett was there for a while. I know Garrett was with Wade. But yeah.
Yeah. But the whole point was Sean Payton is
blocked that time out of me.
he's shown over time to in the, at least before Denver be a really good offensive mind. Maybe the game's caught up to him and he's not able to put together the same type of stuff. But I wanna see Kingsbury make that evolution. Like that's the next step. I want to see him take that next step.
Did you mention the schedule already? The Bengals schedule?
Bengals. Yeah. And I mean, I mentioned it. I didn't talk about the teams that were there.
Panthers. Mm-hmm. This is the next four.
Those guys.
The juggernaut that is the Carolina Panthers and the Red Rocket. Ravens, Giants, Browns. Does that change anyone's mind about writing off the Cincinnati Bengals?
It gives me a little bit of
They've got two with the Ravens before their bye.
Yeah.
So that's two with the Ravens in like the next, I think like, I didn't write the right, maybe seven to eight weeks. Yeah. They have a later bye.
Yeah.
Jesse, I could see.
They already lost to the Patriots and Commanders, bro. Like if they were who we thought they were, they'd be better. They're not.
The Patriots one is tough.
They'll lose to the Ravens. Who knows with the Giants? Like, they're supposed to be the Giants, but who knows there? The Browns have a good defense. Deshaun's arm doesn't work, I guess, but that's a toss-up there. The Eagles, I take the Eagles. Raiders, they could win that one. Ravens, like, there's you can't make the case for them that much, I think.
That a Giants game at Giants Sunday Night Football. Oh. God.
Well, the Giants.
Big neighbor, 7 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. There it is.
I think
Giants are on a winning streak. Watch out.
I think the Kings have a preseason game that night, thankfully. Might be a little early, but I think they do.
There you have it. What day is it?
The 13th.
The 13th?
October 13th. Did I play on that Monday?
13th, the Sacramento Kings, Sunday, October 13th. The Kings play the Blazers. In Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I ain't got to watch that game. Let's go.
At 3 o'clock.
Oh, that's okay. I'll hang around Doko a little bit afterwards.
It's 6 o'clock. Kenny's just Kenny's just standing around the arena like Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Just looking for Malik. Everybody gone home. Then he just standing there because he doesn't want to watch Sunday Night Football.
I think off the top of my head, I think the Niners play on Thursday that week too, so they might not even play that day.
That was the schedule we were just running down during the commercial break.
The
second week of October, we've got the first preseason game, which is at the Golden One Center against the Golden State Warriors. That's on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Thursday night, we got the 49ers in Seattle. Mm. Friday night, we got the Kings in San Francisco to take on the Golden State Warriors. Mm. And then you just ran down the Sunday.
Yeah.
Kings play, man.
I'll never be at that Kings game.
Kings play every other day.
Okay.
For preseason. Well, they play the 9th.
Let these guys practice.
The 9th, the 11th, the 13th, the 15th, and the 17th. Mm. And that's the end of preseason, and then they're
about a week off, huh?
That's it. They'll wrap up the preseason against the Los Angeles Clippers on Thursday. They'll open the regular season against the Minnesota Timberwolves the following Thursday.
Well, I know it's basketball.
1 month from today.
I know it's basketball as opposed to football, but I'm all in. Play your guys in the preseason.
Oh, well, that's going to happen.
Yeah, the Kings do that. They don't really play a whole lot in the last game, but get them some run.
I think Mike kind of pyramids them up, no?
A little bit.
And then
I could see that. I can't remember exactly what happened last year.
I feel like they played and like he'll play them into the second half, and then the second game, maybe it was the third, they played a lot. Mm-hmm. And then it starts to ramp down a little bit. They'll play. I'm very confident they'll play in that last game. Their last two are on the road.
Oh, look at the NBA messing with them again.
Yeah, they'll play the Clippers.
The Kings create that schedule.
Yeah, they'll play the Jazz and then the Clippers. So the preseason home games will be the 9th and the 13th, and then anyone who wants to make the drive to San Francisco has that game on the 11th.
There we go.
We'll come back because much like this Monday, there were two football games yesterday.
Mm.
And I got to admit, starting to feel a little bad for Trevor Lawrence.
Mm.
We'll talk about it. And Buffalo looks legit.
Hey, man, I got to tip my hat. I'm gonna tip my hat in two different times when we come back.
All right, we'll do that. Steve and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. A very, very big congratulations and some air horns for our guy Marshall Harris, who's joining the radio game out at 670 The Score in Chi-Town. Him and Dan Bernstein doing a midday show out there in Chicago, man. So big congratulations to our brother.
Big ups, man. That's going to be fire, man. I think he's going to be really good on radio. He's got opinions. He can talk. I think he's going to be really good on radio.
He's going to be great on radio. And it's an Odyssey station.
That's right. That's right.
We're going to link up.
Our sister station. Everybody always calls each other their
sisters. Everybody got a bunch of sisters. Nobody ever says, that's my brother over there.
I wonder if that's intentional. Mm.
It's a conspiracy.
Made by the man, COO.
Allow me to expose my colon once again. The ramification inflicted on the incision placed within the fallopian cavities serves to be holistic, taken from the Latin word jalapeno.
Yeah.
Taken from the Latin word jalapeno.
Yeah. I thought I had two still of them classic, on here, but man. I guess that's still the only one I got on here. Conspiracy. Boy, we've spent a lot of time over the last week or so talking about bad franchises and what they do to quarterbacks. It was highlighted by the Carolina Panthers' decision to bench Bryce Young. And again, said this yesterday, if you think that Andy Dalton and whatever the hell his nickname is 36 points better than Bryce Young, then I quit. Said that on TV. I said that on the radio. If this is all of a sudden a playoff juggernaut because 36-year-old Andy Dalton is under center, cool, man. I'm not cut out for this work then. Clearly, I can't do this. That was a one-off.
Why does it have to be either or, though? I'm not saying the Panthers are a great organization, but Bryce Young might not be, good enough right now.
He might not be.
He might not be. But there's also history to show that that organization can't develop a quarterback.
And that, I don't dispute that. That's where they take the blame, as to saying, like, it may be the organization. But not every situation is the same.
Are we putting them, like Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, not working there on them too? Like, those are guys coming off, like, their first team and all that stuff. Like, that's not on them to develop.
No,
like,
I'm absolutely putting it on them.
I don't know. Like, those guys.
Sam, these weren't 6 years. Like, Andy Dalton's 36 years old. That's not what either one of these guys were. I don't even think Baker had left the first year of his contract. I don't even think Baker had left the rookie part of his contract yet. Mm-hmm. Neither had Sam Darnold. These were two quarterbacks on rookie deals. They couldn't make either one of them work, and both of them have been fine elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm blaming Carolina.
And that's why I say that, because you go to history, that's fine too. I don't know about Bryce Young yet. He's not absolved of his poor play.
And that's the thing. Maybe Bryce Young just isn't a quarterback, isn't a good quarterback. But I don't think anyone can make that declaration right now. Here's another thing I'll ask you, because this was all meant to tie into Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think Trevor Lawrence stinks. I think Trevor Lawrence has been an average at best quarterback for years. Now I'm starting to look at it like, is this Jacksonville's fault? Like, why am I putting this on Trevor Lawrence when I'm willing to put some of the... Because I asked that because I listened to Dan Orlowski last night, and I listened to Lewis Reddick, who I trust implicitly to talk about multiple positions, but particularly the quarterback position. And I listened to the way that they talked about Trevor Lawrence last night. And I think back to what we went through for 4 years with that kid. Are you telling me everybody was wrong? Literally. Everybody who covers professional football was wrong about Trevor Lawrence.
That could be the case.
Yeah, he stinks. He's not good. He's not as good as they say.
I'm also saying that because you want to talk about history. How many times has that happened in history? This guy, can't miss prospect. Can't miss. I've watched this guy since he's the truth. And the person's not good. It happens all the time.
Yeah, he's got a coach. He's won a Super Bowl.
It happens all the time. They told us Jameson, Mariota were going to change the quarterback position. They were the new wave. Everybody told us that.
Much like Jabari Parker and Andrew Wiggins were.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody told us these two are going to take quarterbacking into the next era. It happens all the time. Yes, people are dead wrong. All of us. I'm not even absolving myself. I thought Trevor Lawrence was the truth coming out of Clemson. I thought Jameis and Mariota were the truth coming. Like, we were all there. We were all there. Nobody was talking about, I don't know. Everybody. And yes, so that happens. Yes.
What more does Trevor Lawrence need, though, too?
What does he have?
So the coaches won the Super Bowl. They drafted a first-round pick wide receiver in Brian Thomas. You got a solid running back in Travis Etienne.
How many Christian times Kirk's has Doug solid. Peterson been fired?
Once from the Eagles.
He survived the Urban Meyer run.
He's a Super Bowl winning coach, bro. Like, he's a good coach.
That's when I won't put on Trevor Lawrence, is the Urban era.
Yeah, like, that's a bad year or whatever. But.
Who was the coach before Urban?
That's a good question.
This is an organization run by Shad and Tony Khan. Do you need me to pull up highlight videos of Tony Khan?
If Trevor was as good as they'd say, like, he could overcome what's in Jacksonville. It's not Carolina's situation.
Trevor, man, it's hard to not look at him and go, man, this is an average quarterback.
He's going to be Kirk Cousins. He's going to go play for a different team one day.
I don't think Kirk Cousins is average, though.
Well, I mean, that's the best he can get, but I'm saying their teams are going to look at him and be like, oh, yeah, this guy can maybe play quarterback for a few years, maybe win us some games and all that. We just need a quarterback. He's going to be that guy. He'll bounce around team to team.
Trevor, to me, is a guy that is he's all right. He's cool. I don't think he's bad. I think here's the thing. In a perfect situation, he may look better. And maybe you can say Jacksonville is far from a perfect situation. But Trevor is clearly not one of the guys that can elevate your franchise. Like, and it's only three games. So I don't want to, you know me, I'm a little more patient with all this, but I mean, what has the football team been? What has that organization been in recent years? And Jaden has come in, and
yeah,
they look different.
You're right, but they went through a complete overhaul, though.
I think Carolina has too, though, right? Like, nobody is in Carolina that was there for Baker. Right.
David Tepper is still there, no?
Then they, I thought they got a new GM.
No, I'm sorry. David Tepper's the owner. Yes, they've. They've run
so,
through
so
like
mean
a complete
the ownership plays
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I have to ask because they're the ones making the
right.
hires, right?
Right.
Like the same is true in Jacksonville. Like Doug Peterson, like that whole crew was turned over, but it's still Shad Khan.
Fair.
Washington, your point is completely valid. It's just we have to remember that it's Washington. Mm-hmm. Old boy is gone. Mm-hmm. Everything associated with him is gone. This is a completely brand new Washington organization. Mm-hmm. And it's a little different.
I mean,
you have to assume at least that it's a little different.
The way I look at Trevor, I just think he's not a guy that by himself can elevate a franchise in a team. If things are right around him, perfect around him, he can play well. He played well when he got him to the playoffs and won that game and all this other stuff. He played well. He wasn't lighting the world on fire, you know, getting them to the playoffs and then in the play. Like, he wasn't that. He was just played well and had everything else around him that was doing good. And I think that's the type of quarterback that he could be. And that's, I don't want to say that's okay, but it is okay if you have the right pieces around him.
He's good enough to remain a starter in the league till he retires and get paid. Like I said, I think his ceiling is Kirk Cousins.
Can we go back to, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I don't even know that he's there yet, but can we go back to something you were saying? You think this is a good Jacksonville roster?
I think if Trevor Lawrence is what everyone has said about him, they're good enough to where you can win ball games. They're not the worst team in the league or anything. Like, yeah, they're not devoid of weapons or any their talent or anything like that. Trevor Lawrence is that dude that he can take these guys, whatever. Josh Allen is taking the Buffalo Bills at 3-0 right now.
Who's their biggest offensive weapon? Christian Kirk?
We got Kirk, but Brian Thomas is good and all that. They didn't keep Calvin Ridley, but
NTN was yeah,
you have weapons.
Top running backs in the game.
You have weapons.
I don't think they're the most talented roster in the NFL, but I also don't think they should be 0-3.
Well, his job is safe because we know who the backup is, so...
wait a minute. I know this. The backup.
Oh, you forgot.
We talked about this. The backup.
You got
is,
it. Come on. Come on, man.
We talked about this.
Come on, man. Who's the backup for the Jacksonville? Oh, you're going to love it. Come on.
Oh, it's Trevor Lawrence. Or not Trevor Lawrence.
That would be a neat years. That is a hell of a, that's a neat move right there.
It's Zach Wilson.
No.
It's not Zach Wilson.
No. He's in Denver.
No.
Oh, who is it?
He's Mac a former Legia.
It's Mac Jones.
Hey, Trevor getting all 17 games to try and figure this out.
He's never going to get benched. It's going to come to a point. It's like, all right, we're not going to get anywhere with Trevor. We're not going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that. Trevor, you go your ways or whatever. Go get a bag from whatever team needs a quarterback that thinks that you can take him over the top, and we'll go our certain ways.
It felt like that game was over pretty quickly. And so there was no desire, you know, to rush home after KSFM and see what was going on, especially with the way that Jaden Daniels was playing. I wanted to see that. What I don't know. I just don't think that Jacksonville team is good. But, again, to be fair, Buffalo's fantastic. Buffalo was really good.
Hey, look, man, I got to tip my hat to the Buffalo Bills. I didn't think they were a playoff team this year. I've questioned Josh Allen in the past for sure, and he's been great to start the season. He's been great to start the season. The Bills have been borderline dominant to start the season. After that first half against Arizona – they've balled out in the next, you know, what is that, 8.5 or 2.5 games, 10 quarters. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, they've played really, really well. I got to tip my hat to them, man. One of the things that I also want to praise Josh Allen for to start the season, because it was one of my issues with him and one of the reasons why I really couldn't believe in him the way others believed him. I always thought he was a good quarterback. I thought he was top 5 to 7. That was the whole argument. Like, it wasn't that he was bad. It was, I think Brock Purdy's on the same level. But one of the things that concerned me about him was his knack for bad decisions and turnovers. On the first three games this year, between passing and rushing, 9 touchdowns, 1 turnover. That That is some good stuff. And it wasn't unwarranted before. Like, he had, I think, since, what was it, since 2021, they had the most turnovers in the league or something like that up until that. And he has protected the ball. He's been a playmaker. He has elevated his game and elevated the play of others around him.
It's like he's turned it up, because he kind of has to at this point, because you don't have all the weapons that you've had before.
He's been really, really good, man. 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. In the air, obviously, and then on the ground, 2 touchdowns, 1 fumble. That's it.
Poor Jaden Daniels. First touchdown pass in the NFL was to a lineman. It was talking about that last night.
So I missed the commotion. Was it ESPN that had no idea what the celebration dance was? Or was it
everyone? Like, yeah, ESPN. There was tweets. They didn't know what it was. Come on, bro.
Come on. See, that's come on, man.
Yeah.
That's right. We ain't got representation. That's what happens.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil' Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil' Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.